Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Thank you, Jesus, that we know you, that we have a name that we can stand on, a name that has power, a name that brings healing, a name that gives life. Thank you, Father, that your name is one of the weapons that we wage battle with, and that at the mentioning of that name, every knee should bow of things in heaven, of things on earth, and of things under the earth. And at the mentioning of your name, every tongue should confess that you are Lord, to the glory of the Father. We glorify you here tonight. May all the honor and the adoration be ascribed to you and to none other. In Jesus' mighty name. And let everybody say, amen. Amen. Somebody clap your hands and bless the Lord. Bless the name of Jesus. Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. We thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Will you turn your Bibles with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2? And we want to read verse 1 to 4. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. The Bible says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority, so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God our Savior. Can you read the very last verse with me? Ready, go. Who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth? Can we read it again? Who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth? Hallelujah. And last week, I started the first part of a teaching I titled Crossing Barriers to Share the Gospel. Crossing Barriers to Share the Gospel. All right, so this is the second part, the concluding part. It was just a two-part series. And tonight, I just want to conclude on it. You know, in this last verse that we read of 1 Timothy chapter 1, and I mean verse 4, it says that God wants everyone to be saved. Now, can you give me the same verse in the New King James Version, if you please? It says, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? Another way of putting this is that the will of God is that all men should be saved and should come to the knowledge of the truth. Hallelujah. You know, it is not always easy to discern the will of God concerning every situation in our lives. How many of you have realized that? That it's not always easy to know what the will of God is. But the thing is that there are some scriptures in the Bible concerning the will of God that are very clear. Or to put it in another way, there are certain things about God's will that the scriptures make absolutely clear. All right? So even though there are a lot of uncertainties about what the will of God is, the truth also is that there are also different places in scripture where you can see clearly, it is said explicitly that this or that is the will of God. So for example, if you read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18, let's look at an example of a scripture where the will of God is clearly spelled out. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18, it says, be thankful in all circumstances. Why? Why must you be thankful in all circumstances? For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. So what is the will of God here? That we should be thankful in all circumstances. And the Bible makes it clear that whenever we do that, it is the will of God. So this is an example of a scripture where the will of God is spelled out clearly. And the will of God for you and I is that whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, we should be thankful to the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me give you another example of another scripture where the will of God is clearly revealed. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15. It says, it is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. How many have been accused before in life? All right. Now, how many have found out that some of the accusations are foolish? But the Bible is saying here not to respond, if you like, verbally to these foolish accusations. It shows us what the will of God for us is in such situations. It says that we should let our honorable lives silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against us. And it says that it is God's will that we should do that. So this is another example of a scripture where the will of God is revealed. Hallelujah. But another example of a scripture where we see the will of God is in what we read in 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4. Put it up again. It says who, and the who here is referring to God. So we can say that God wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. So based on this scripture, what can you say about the will of God? What is the will of God here? All men should be saved. Everyone should be saved. So that is the will of God. Now, if indeed the will of God is that all men should be saved, then what it means for you and I, who have been given the ministry of reconciliation, is that we must be willing to cross all barriers to take the gospel to all kinds of people. Hallelujah. Why? Because the will of God is that everyone should be saved. So it means that no matter where people are, those of us who have this ministry of reconciliation and we are ambassadors of Christ, one thing that we must always do is that we must be ready and willing to cross all kinds of barriers to reach all kinds of people with the gospel. Amen. So last week, I gave you an example of how the Apostle Peter crossed several barriers in order to take the gospel to the house of Cornelius. We read so many verses. We don't have time to do that, but let's touch on a few of the verses we read. All right. And so we see in Acts chapter 10, we find the story in Acts chapter 10. And you see, the Bible says that the things that are recorded in the scripture, they are recorded for our learning, that they will be examples to us. So there are many stories we find in the Bible that are supposed to teach us very important lessons. And this story here in Acts chapter 10 is teaching us how important it is to overcome all kinds of obstacles and barriers in order to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to people who may, you know, be considered unworthy or unlikely or are difficult to reach. Listen, my friends, there are so many people outside the four walls of this church who must hear about Jesus. And the problem with a lot of churches is that we become so comfortable having church, fellowshipping among ourselves, and, you know, doing things among ourselves as believers, that sometimes we forget that we have a responsibility to step out of our comfort zones and take the gospel to the lost souls around us. So here in Acts chapter 10, God is showing us that it's an important thing to do that, and we must be willing to cross barriers in order to be able to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 10 verse 1 to 6. So it says, in Caesarea there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius, who was a captain of the Italian regiment. Verse 2. He was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. He gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. So he was a good man. All right? He feared God. He was devoted to God. And it was not just him. Everybody in his house was that way also. And another thing we see about him was that he prayed regularly to God and he gave gifts to the poor. So this describes a very good person. But there's a little problem. Even though he was a good person and was a cool brother, he was not saved. And God wanted him to be saved. Because when you are not saved, all your righteousnesses are like filthy rags before the Lord. So the story continues. One afternoon, about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming toward him. Cornelius, the angel said. Cornelius stared at him in terror. "What is it, sir?" he asked the angel. And the angel replied, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering." Verse 5. "Now send some men to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He is staying with Simon a tanner who lives near the seashore." Jump to verse 9. "The next day, as Cornelius' messengers were nearing the town, Peter went up on the flat roof to pray. It was about noon, and he was hungry. But while a meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the sky open, and something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners. In the sheet were all sorts of animals, reptiles, and birds. Then a voice said to him, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat them.' 'No, Lord,' Peter declared, 'I have never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure and unclean.'" And then verse 15, "But the voice spoke again, 'Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean.'" Verse 24, so I'm just jumping. "They," which is Peter and the messengers from Cornelius, now they went back to where Cornelius was. They arrived in Caesarea the following day. Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered his home, Cornelius fell at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter pulled him up and said, "Stand up, I'm a human being just like you." So they talked together and went inside where many others were assembled. Peter told them, "You know it is against our laws for a Jewish man to enter a Gentile home like this or to associate with you. But God has shown me that I should no longer think of anyone as impure or unclean." Hallelujah. All right, so from this story, There are lessons to be learned, and I took you through those lessons. The first one is that God cares about people who are different from us. Amen. God cares about people who are different from us. God is not just interested in you. He's interested in other people. And he's interested in people who are different from us. We see in this story, Peter, who was a Jew. And remember what Jesus said to the Samaritan woman when he interacted with her. He told her that salvation came through the Jews. Or salvation is of the Jews. All right? So the salvation as we know it, it came from the Jewish nation. But even though this is true, it is also very true that God is very much interested and he cares about other groups of people. He's not just interested in Jews alone. He's interested in Gentiles. And you and I belong to that category. So from what transpired in this story in Acts chapter 10, one important lesson that we learn is that God cares about people who are different from us. Hallelujah. Cornelius was very different from Peter. He was a Roman. Peter was a Jew. He was a centurion, a very important person. Peter was an ordinary fisherman who became the chief apostle, if you like. They had different cultures. They came from different backgrounds. They had different religions, or the nations they came from had different religions. So Cornelius was very different from Peter, but God was interested in both of them. So we must understand that God cares about people who are different from us. Number two, God sometimes has to change us before he can send us. Do you remember I shared that with you last week? God sometimes has to change us before he can send us. Now, the way we are, if God doesn't work on us, we will not be of much use to him. Amen. Can I have a better amen? Yeah. And we saw in this story that God had to work on Peter before he could send him on that important assignment to the house of Cornelius. Because what it was that Peter had a certain mindset. He had a certain way he thought. He believed, you know, that there are some things that you shouldn't have anything to do with, according to their Roman traditions and customs. And a typical Jew is brought up to believe that if you are not a Jew, you are impure and you are unclean. So now, before God could send Peter to the house of Cornelius, he had to change something in him. And I'm submitting to you, ladies and gentlemen, that before God can send us, or before God can use us, often he has to change something about us. He has to take away our pride. He has to take away our self-centeredness. He has to take away our selfishness. He has to work on our attitudes. He has to work on our emotions. He has to work on our anger. All right? Because sometimes, because of our anger issues, it's difficult for God to use us. So we pick this lesson from this story, that God sometimes has to change us before he can send us. Number three, I explained to you that Peter had to cross different barriers for the gospel to reach Cornelius and his household. So I told you that he had to cross the barrier of prejudice. Everybody say prejudice. So prejudice is simply when you think of somebody or a group of people in a certain way, and then you allow the way you think about them to determine how you treat them, even before you have taken time to get to know them. That's what prejudice is. Because sometimes in life, that's what happens. We allow what we think about somebody to determine how we relate with the person, or how we treat the person, even before we get to know the person. All right? And Peter had prejudices about Gentiles. So God had to deal with him about that. God had to deal, or Peter had to cross the barrier of uncertainty. Because as he was going, or as he had that vision, he was uncertain about what God was trying to tell him. He was uncertain about what he was going to meet in the house of Cornelius. So he had to cross that barrier of uncertainty. Then he had to cross the barrier of social status. That's the next one. He had to cross... Pacho, the spellings you have there are terrible. Correct them, okay? Correct them before you put something funny there. He had to cross the barrier of social status. Your social status is like your position or your level of importance in the society. Your position and your level of importance in society, that is your social status. Cornelius was high up there. He was a centurion. He was an important person in the Roman administration. All right? And so Peter had to overcome that thing to be able to relate with him and to go to him. Another thing, he had to overcome the barrier of culture. Culture is the way we do things. Every group of people, you know, has a culture. The way we do things. So you see that Ashantis have the way they do things. Fantis have the way they do things. Africans have the way we do things. Europeans have the way they do things. So it's something you find with every group of people. So the way you do things is what is described as your culture. And one of the obstacles to reaching people with the gospel is the way we look, or the way we speak, or the way we behave. So that if people don't look like the way we look, if people don't talk like the way we talk, if people don't behave like the way we behave, it becomes difficult for us to reach out to them. So Paul had to overcome this barrier of culture, because obviously Cornelius and his household had a different culture from the Jewish culture which Paul was accustomed to. So for him to be able to reach out to them, he had to overcome that barrier. Hallelujah. Then the other one, the barrier of our comfort zone. All right? You know, if you are too comfortable where you are, it'll become difficult for God to use you. Amen. And Peter had to come out of his comfort zone to be able to go to the house of Cornelius and fellowship with them. Amen. So one of the biggest barriers to evangelism is not oppositional. It is comfort and convenience. Yeah. That is one of the major reasons why a lot of us Christians do not talk to people about Christ, do not evangelize, do not share the good news of the gospel. Because we are too comfortable where we are, and we don't want to inconvenience ourselves. Now let me say something to you. That the church is not a cruise ship. It is a rescue vessel. Amen. The church is not a cruise ship. We are not going on a cruise. Like we had the Titanic. The Titanic was a cruise ship that had a lot of people who had, you know, gotten on board going for a cruise, traveling somewhere. And that ship sank on the 15th of April, 1912, I think so. And I'm saying to you that the church is not a cruise ship. It is a rescue vessel. God has not saved us merely to enjoy our salvation. He has saved us because he has an intention to use us as instruments of salvation to reach out to others. So we need to come out of that thing of, you know, we are just enjoying our salvation. We are comfortable here. All right? We need to come out of that convenience, because the Great Commission does not say, look at Matthew chapter 28 verse 19. Matthew 28 verse 19. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 28, 19. It says, therefore, go when it is convenient and make disciples of all. Is that what you saw there? Did you see that in your Bible? Go when it is convenient. That's not what is written there. It says, go, therefore. Go, therefore. So the word is go. 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 There is no condition attached to it. It says, go and make disciples. It means that whether it is convenient or not, go. Whether you are feeling hot or not, go. Whether you are busy or not, go. Whether people will reject you or not, go. Whether you feel comfortable or uncomfortable, go. And we are supposed to go because the destiny, the eternal destiny of somebody depends on us. Hallelujah. But to be able to go, we must come out of our comfort zone. And we must come out of the convenience that cripples us sometimes. And we are so comfortable here. Look. You know, the early church, at a point, it appears that they were very comfortable in Jerusalem. Why? Because the church was working. Every day, more people joined them. And they used to gather and move from house to house to break bread and to fellowship. And there was a lot of joy in the church. And the power of God was evident virtually on a daily basis. And naturally, they enjoyed it there. But you see, the instruction that Jesus left with them was take the gospel to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. But here they were very comfortable in Jerusalem. And they had the goodwill of the people. Until God decided to kick them out of their comfort zone. That is when he raised people like Saul, who later became Paul. And then he, together with others, started persecuting the church. It was the persecution that drove them out of Jerusalem, and they scattered in other places. But until the persecution came, they were very comfortable where they are. May God not cause us to experience persecution in order to push us out of our comfort zones and take us out of the convenient states that we find ourselves in. May God not be driven to do that with us so that we will carry out his wish and carry out his command. So, to be able for Peter to be able to take the gospel to Cornelius' home, he had to come out of his comfort zone. Hallelujah. Let's move on from that. I think I finished that point number three. Number four, the fourth lesson to learn from this story in Acts chapter 10 is that after Peter crossed the barriers and entered the house, he discovered other people ready for the gospel. Amen. After Peter crossed the barriers and entered the house, he discovered other people who were ready for the gospel. So, you look at what happened. So, Peter got to the house of Cornelius. He met him initially outside. They talked. But they went inside. So when Peter got to Cornelius' house, he did not just stand at the gate and preach from a distance, because he could have done that. Because he knew that based on his culture, the culture of the Jews, he could not mingle with the Gentiles because they are considered impure and unclean. So he could have done, what he could have done when he got to the house of Cornelius was to stand at the gate and then do like a dumb broadcast. You see, and shout at the top of his voice. But that's not what he did. He entered the house. So he crossed the physical barrier. He crossed the cultural barrier. He crossed the social barrier. He crossed the religious barrier. And he went inside. And when he entered, he discovered something important. He discovered that there were many people waiting. It was after he crossed the barriers and entered that he went to discover that there were many people waiting. And this, ladies and gentlemen, should challenge us. Because sometimes when you cross one barrier, you may be surprised at what you are going to meet. Hallelujah. When you cross one barrier, you'll be surprised. Sometimes you talk to one person, and through that one person, you will meet his family, and that family can become saved. Or sometimes you can talk to one work colleague, and that may actually open the door for other colleagues to also come to the faith. Sometimes you may visit a community and you were just talking to a few people before you realize a whole community has been affected. You may go to a school or a campus to talk to one student or two students before you realize you are affecting a whole campus. You may be surprised at what can happen when you decide to break barriers and to overcome certain barriers and do what God says we should do, which is to send the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to people that we encounter. Sometimes by just obeying that instruction and reaching out to one person, so many other people can be affected. This is what happened with Peter. He went and saw Cornelius, and he went with him inside, and he met Cornelius' family, his household, and friends that he had invited. Hallelujah. So your obedience may actually open the door for many others to come to Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Number five, the fifth lesson that we can learn from this story in Acts chapter 10 is that Peter discovered that God had moved ahead of him. Peter discovered that God had moved ahead of him. So you see, when Peter entered Cornelius' house, Cornelius told him about what had happened. How that he had had, you know, an encounter. An angel had appeared to him and told him certain things. And he had been instructed to send for Peter. So before Peter got there to Cornelius' house, God had already moved ahead of him. Hallelujah. So God had already started working on Cornelius before Peter got there. I told you last Sunday that one of the reasons why sometimes you go out there to plant the seed of God's word and to witness to people and to evangelize, and you find out that people receive you well and they are ready to give their lives to Jesus and they are ready to pray the sinner's prayer. One of the reasons why that happens is that God had already moved ahead of you to prepare the hearts of people. So before Peter got to the Cornelius home, he discovered that God had already moved ahead of him. So always understand, whenever you go out to witness or to share the gospel or even to invite people to church, understand that many times God is already at work in people. So you may think that, oh, you are the one who is going to introduce Jesus to somebody, but God has already introduced them to their need for Jesus. You may go somewhere and you want to start a conversation, but God has already started a conversation weeks ago with that person. You may think that you are going to open a door, but God has already been preparing that door. You may think that you're going to plant the seed, but God has already been preparing the soil. So I'm explaining to you that many times as you set out to carry out the master's wish, God has already moved ahead of you to work. So the important thing is that we must always go. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 9:37. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. The problem is not the harvest though. The problem has to do with the laborers. They are not going. That is why there is no reaping. As for the harvest, it is plenteous and it is ready. But because the laborers are not going, and because the laborers don't understand that God has already prepared the harvest, we don't go. So people are not saved. So I want you to understand that there's a harvest though, out there. There's a harvest. There are people. People that you know. There are families. Families that you are connected to. There are communities. Communities that you live in or you work in. There are young people, there are professionals, there are students, there are people at our workplaces, there are people in our neighborhoods, there are people in our schools, there are people in our businesses, there are people on our streets. Ladies and gentlemen, the harvest is waiting, but somebody has to cross the barrier. And as we cross the barriers, we must understand that God has already moved ahead of us and is already working. Hallelujah. And number six, when Peter crossed the barriers, the Holy Spirit fell on Cornelius and the people who had gathered in his house. So when Peter crossed, the Holy Spirit fell. When Peter crossed, the Holy Spirit came. So in Acts 10:44, let's read that. Acts chapter 10 verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard the word. So even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell. Why have you changed? Because now I'm reading the New Living Translation. Can you change back to it, please? Even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. So Peter got to the house of Cornelius and he preached Jesus to them. He told them about Jesus' life, Jesus' death, Jesus' resurrection, his command that his disciples, the believers, should go and preach, and that there's forgiveness of sins through his name. And while Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard the word. So can you imagine that? Peter crossed the barriers. He crossed the barrier of prejudice, the barrier of comfort, the barrier of religion, the barrier of social status. And he crossed all those barriers. And he entered the house, Cornelius' house, and he preached Jesus. And the Holy Spirit came down. But the starting point was that he crossed the barriers. Otherwise, everything else that happened would not have happened if he hadn't crossed the barriers. Hallelujah. So, understand that when you cross barriers, it can lead to a lot of lives being imparted. And it can lead to a lot of people receiving the administration of the Holy Spirit. So we have a great message that God has given to us. That Jesus saves. That Jesus forgives. That Jesus restores. That Jesus delivers. That Jesus gives hope. That Jesus gives eternal life. That's the message that we have. But we must carry that message across. Everywhere we go, we must tell it. Tell it on the mountains. Tell it in the valleys. Tell it everywhere we go. Where we live, in our neighborhoods. Where we work, at our workplace. In our schools. On the bus. On the train. On the flights. In the trotro. At the shopping mall. Wherever we go, we must deliver the message that God has given to us. We must cross the barriers. We must overcome the barriers. Because when we do, we'll be surprised at what the Spirit of God will do. But the first important thing is that we must cross the barriers. Hallelujah. In conclusion, we want to remind ourselves again of different barriers that we must cross, that you and I must cross, if God is going to be able to use us to affect many other lives. We must cross, apart from all the other barriers that I shared with you that Peter crossed, we must cross the barrier of distance. Everybody say, the barrier of distance. Which means that even if people live far away from us, we must take the gospel to them. Amen. Let's not say that somebody lives far from church, so we cannot reach that person, or that person may not be interested to come to church, or it's too far for us to go to them. If we are going to carry the gospel across, we must cross the barrier of distance. Another thing, we must cross the barrier of language. All right? Sometimes language becomes a barrier. I don't know why Mrs. Awotri is laughing at me. But we must cross that barrier. And we need to just find a way, whoever we meet, to tell them about Jesus. And the thing is to make it simple. So you should be able to share the gospel in Cree. And most people understand Cree. A lot of other speaking people understand Cree. So if you have a little English, you have a little Cree, you are good to go in a place like Ghana. Hallelujah. And what you have to do is to just use simple language. Find a way to communicate. Cross the barrier of language. Don't just be put off because you've gone to somebody or you've reached out to somebody and the person doesn't speak English fluently. Maybe you meet somebody who speaks French. But most of the people who come to Ghana from French-speaking countries, they understand English small. Or ever. Yes, but they understand a bit of English. So you have to find a way to tell people about Jesus in very simple, plain language that is not complicated. And the gospel must not be complex. So, how do you witness? Tell them that we are all sinners. Number one. Number two, Jesus came to die for sinners. Number three, he rose again. Number four, he offers forgiveness and eternal life. Number five, you must repent and believe in him. And no. That's it. Nothing complex. And just know one or two scriptures that you can quote. That's it. And like Evangelist Marian shared with us when she was here a couple of Sundays ago, witnessing and telling people about Jesus is about sharing your testimony with them. If you are saved, if Jesus has made a difference in your life, if you can look at your life, what it was before and what it is now, all you need to do when you witness is to share your testimony with them and then link it to the five things that I've told you. We were sinners. Jesus came to die for us. When he died, he rose again. And he rose again so that we can find forgiveness and be reconciled to God. And that you can receive the free gift of salvation by believing in Jesus and receiving him as your Lord and Savior. Then you can link it to your story. Some years ago, I didn't know Jesus. I was a bad boy. I was a bad girl. I used to do a lot of bad things. And then I went to church. And the pastor told me that we are all sinners. That Jesus came to die for us. But he rose again. And now he's given us an opportunity to receive him into our hearts. Tell the person that I went forward when the altar call was given. And I received Jesus into my heart. And since then my life has not been the same. That's what it means to witness. Nothing complex. I said nothing complex. You don't have to come up with any revelation that you yourself now, you can't even see the head and tails of it. Sometimes I don't understand why we like to complicate things. Why is it that you are going to tell somebody about Jesus and you are preaching about Aaron's beard? Aaron's beard is a name. What does that have to do with the good news of Jesus Christ? Keep it simple. And learn to overcome the barrier of language. We must learn to cross the barrier of age. Barrier of age. Because sometimes we are put off by the ages of the people we find. So you are young. When you see an older person, you feel that this person will not receive me. Or you are an old person. When you see a child, you say, hey, akola wo ko hin. Why should I waste my time with this child? Do you see that? We must overcome all of that, because everybody needs Jesus, whether an old person or a child. Or you meet a teenager and say that these children, they are basa-basa. I can't waste my time with them. We must overcome the barrier of age. Amen. Nobody is too young and nobody is too old for Jesus. Another barrier that we must cross, the barrier of social class. Because sometimes you look at people, you know, you look at your boss, and the Spirit of God is prompting you to tell your boss about Jesus. Say, "Ish, this is my boss. How can I tell him about Jesus?" So you have to overcome that. Hallelujah. And you see, one of the things that I've found out is that, you know, sometimes people are very selective about those they reach out to and those they share the gospel with. Because even though they are supposed to be telling them about Jesus, they are actually looking for connections. They are looking for network. They want to network with people, want to see what I can get from this person, what I can get from that person. So it's like, if I don't see what I can get from this person, I don't see why I need to bother to relate with people. If you live your life like that, you cannot be used by God. Hallelujah. So we must preach to people, not because they can give us anything, but because they need Jesus. Another barrier, the barrier of religion. And this one, it concerns me. Or I'm very much concerned about it. You see, I'm sure you are aware of what transpired a couple of weeks ago about this pastor who went to say something against the prophet of some people be, and the people got very angry, and then the police came to pick this pastor up. The guy was assaulted when he was at the police station and all of that. Now, since that thing happened, I've been concerned about what is going on the social media. I see a lot of impatience. I see a lot of abuse, a lot of insults. I don't see a lot of love and taking time to explain things to people. I see a lot of attacks, and I see a lot of condemnation, accusation and counter accusation. Your religion is not good. If your religion was this, that. If your religion was this, but that. Listen, we must cross the barrier of religion. Amen. And we must learn to speak respectfully to others of different religious backgrounds. We must reach out to them in love. Let's not attack anybody. Let's not insult anybody. Let's not mock anybody's beliefs. That's not what Jesus has called us to do. Look, I believe in apologetics. Apologetics is the defense of the gospel. It's a branch of theology that has to do with defending the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe in it. That wherever we find ourselves, we must defend the gospel. I believe in polemics, which is where you stand to defend the gospel and to prove that what somebody is saying is wrong, or what somebody believes in is wrong. I believe in all of those things. But all those things can be done with the spirit of love, spirit of patience, the spirit of gentleness, not the spirit of attacks and insults and condemnation. That is not how Jesus wants us to go about it. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? So if God is expecting us to cross the barrier of religion, and we must not use a weapon of hatred for people of other religions, rather, we must use the weapon of love and the good news of Jesus Christ. Sometimes the barrier that we have to cross is the barrier of reputation. Look, some of the people that God may lead you to, they may have very terrible reputation. And if you don't cross that barrier, certain people will never hear the gospel. Because sometimes God will lead you to a very bad boy. He may lead you to a very bad girl. He may lead you to a crook. He may lead you to a drunkard. He may lead you to a smoker, somebody who does drugs. God may lead you to people with very terrible reputations. But we must learn to cross that barrier to be able to take the gospel to them. We must cross the barrier of rejection. Because sometimes we are concerned about, you know, people will reject me. People will laugh at me. People may say no. We need to overcome all of those things. And remember what I told you on Sunday. It is not your work to save anybody, because you don't have the power to save anybody. Our assignment is just to plant the seed of God's word and to tell people about Jesus. We are supposed to obey Jesus by going and telling them. Tell them. Once we do that, our work is done. Our work only comes up again after they have received Jesus, and then now we have to disciple them. But as to people getting saved, it is God who saves them. So our duty is just to tell them. So that thing about they won't accept me, they won't reject me, we should not worry about that at all. We should just tell them and overcome the barrier of rejection. Other barriers we must overcome. Overcome barriers of pride. Sometimes we are so proud, that's why we can't tell people about Jesus. We must overcome barriers of fear, of laziness, of indifference, where you don't care what happens to people. Because you are saved and you feel like you booked your ticket on the Zion train, you don't care what happens to anybody else. You are indifferent. And they can go to hell. I'm sure that they've heard the gospel many times and they've not responded. Why should I bother myself about them? That's indifference. Sometimes you have to overcome the barrier of busyness. You are too busy. If we are too busy to tell people about Jesus, that means that we are too busy. Selfishness is another barrier that we must overcome. Sometimes we are too selfish and too self-centered. Excuses is another barrier. So sometimes you give an excuse, somebody else will go and tell them. I'm not an evangelist. I don't know enough scripture. I don't know what to say. All these excuses, we need to overcome them. And we must be willing to do what the master says. And let me tell you this, my friend. God is not asking you to become Billy Graham or Reinhard Bonnke or T.L. Osborne or Maurice Cerullo. That's not what he's asking us to become. He's asking us to become us. Become yourself. Who are you? Are you saved? Are you born again? Are you born again? Have you received Jesus as Lord and Savior? Have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? That's all it takes. That's all. You don't need to have any special ministry. And God is not expecting anything fantastic of you. He wants you as you are. And he can use you as you are. If only you are willing for him to use you as you are. He will use you bia. And you'll be surprised by the results that will come up. Hallelujah. So today, the question that God is asking all of us is, will we cross? Will we cross the barriers? And as we come to the end of our month of community outreach and social impact, I want you to understand that that's not the end of our effort to take the gospel to the people that we come into contact with. That's not the end of it. We must continue. We must press on beyond this month of community outreach and social impact. And we must realize that we have a calling and we have a mandate to tell people about Jesus. So we must not stop. We must not relent. We must press on and on and on and tell people about Jesus wherever we find them. By the grace of God, we will cross the barriers that we need to cross. And God will use us powerfully to affect many lives. If all of us will embrace this message about crossing barriers to take the gospel to others, I can assure you that God will use us as instruments of righteousness to save many lives. And in some time to come, when we come to church like this, there'll be no space at all, because we have availed ourselves for God to use. We have overcome several barriers and we have reached out to the lost souls out there. We are broken out of the comfort of this church, out of the four walls of this church, and we are taking the gospel to the people out there. And God will honor his word as we do that, and will bring people into his house, because his will is that nobody should perish, but that all should be saved, and that his house should be filled. May God help us to do this, and this we will do by the grace of God. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you tonight. We bless you. We are grateful to you for tonight. Thank you for your word. We've realized that there are so many barriers that we must press on to cross and overcome, so that we will become people that will save others who are lost out there. Father, there are so many people connected to us that you want us to reach out to. From today, may we embrace that calling. May we take our calling seriously. May we take our responsibility seriously. And may we cross every barrier that stands in our way, so that somebody will hear about Jesus. Thank you for a turnaround and for a great change that will take place in this church as we do this. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Say amen again. All right.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.